Listener-supported Light of Life Radio brings you Answering the Call, discussing the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious in our listening area. And now here's Answering the Call with host Irene Carubia.
Today we have with us Deacon Brian Krim of the St. Leo Parish in Inwood, West Virginia. Thank you, Deacon Brian, for being here today and for your service to the people of St. Leo's and the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia and the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston. Tell us a little bit about your family.
I've been married for 37 years this year. I have three grown children. My son and his wife live in Newport News, Virginia. My oldest daughter and her husband live in Durham, North Carolina. My other youngest daughter and her husband live in Berkeley County, where I'm from. I have one grandchild, new grandchild, about 3 months old.
So were you ever an altar server growing up?
Not growing up. I'm actually a convert to Catholicism. I grew up in the Methodist Church, and I was kind of what they would call it an acolyte, but that was actually kind of like an altar server. I got to light the candles.
Okay.
Come out when I left. But no, I grew up a Methodist, and I actually converted to Catholicism when I was in college.
What was somebody that really influenced you to become a Catholic? Is it one person or several?
It was actually one person. I was dating this young lady who was now my wife, and she was Catholic. And I had all kinds of misgivings and misunderstandings about the Catholic Church. But she invited me to come to one of the college masses on the campus of Shepherd College. And I thought, well, and I was basically at that time an agnostic. So I said, no, okay. Yeah. And I was impressed. I was impressed by the pastor there at the time. And I kept going back. And I actually converted in 1978. I was a class of one.
So you didn't have an actual RCIA program?
I think there was in process, but there was an established RCIA program at that church. So men under Father Cyril at the time.
What was it like to realize that God was calling you to be a deacon? When did you decide that that was for you, that you wanted to do this?
Well, I always, growing up as a Methodist, there was a point in time where I wanted to become a pastor. But then I got away, the world got into my life, and like I said before, I actually became kind of an agnostic for a while going into college. And then after I was married and had kids, I just continued to felt the call. You know, I was involved in the charismatic renewal. And I've got a funny story to tell you about that sometime if you ever want to hear that.
Tell it to me right now.
Okay. My in-laws were involved, my future in-laws. I was not married yet at the time. It's not about 1978. And I was visiting them up in Long Island. They lived on Long Island, New York. And I was invited to go to a day of renewal there. Now, I need to preface this with something. When I was a Methodist, when I was younger, I was always taught the Catholic Church was the whore of Babylon.
I've heard many things like that.
Remember that statement. So I was invited to this day of renewal. And I was touched at the day of renewal in a very powerful way. In a Catholic church in Babylon, New York. God does have a sense of...
Oh, yes, he does.
Felt movement. Then I was later, of course, my wife and I were married sometime after, 1980. And I was involved in the charismatic renewal for a bit after that. I always felt this call that I needed to be serving God. I wasn't sure how. In fact, the class before mine, I was even contemplating going through the diaconate program with them. But they have kind of I call it a disclaimer, that, you know, you have to be willing to move, even though they may not move you. You have to be able to say, you know, if the bishop wants me in middle of nowhere, West Virginia, you know, you have to be willing to go. And my kids were still in high school and middle school, so I thought, no, it's not the time. Then this next class that I was in, and I said, you know, God, you're going to open doors that need to be opened. You're going to close the doors that need to be closed. If you want me following this path of the diaconate, you're going to have to open these doors and make everything go. And he did. Things that I thought were going to be hindrances, things I thought were going to be hardships, weren't. And it just, you know, God just opened these doors. And it was to the, you know, and I was ordained about a year ago. It'll be a year, May 7th.
Oh, congratulations. That's wonderful.
It's been a blessed ride. It's been a wonderful ride. Busy, especially Holy Week. But it's been a blessing. There are things that I thought, I don't know if I can do that. and I could, but doing hospital visits, nursing home visits, you know, I always felt, I don't know if I can do that. I mean, but God has blessed me with that, and that's one of the things that I enjoy doing is going to visit people, you know, homebound, shut-ins, hospital visits. I get a blessing out of it. Only the people I'm visiting do, too.
Well, it sounds like the Charismatic Renewal did have a very special part in your life.
It did. I saw some wonderful things, and, you know, there are people who say, oh, you know, God doesn't do miracles anymore. And yeah.
Oh, yes, he does.
So I see them. I've seen them. So it's there. It happens. And there's an outpouring of faith there that is just hard to describe, you know. And the music, the praise, the worship, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, you really see them poured out. And I don't, it's not over yet. The Charismatic Renewal is still going strong, and it needs to be, you know, we need to pray for it for over the whole state of West Virginia, our whole country.
And we just heard on Catholic radio that the Pope is telling all of his priests he wants them to have Life in the Spirit seminars during seminary time.
Oh, that would be great.
So how was your ordination when you first became a deacon? What do you remember about it?
One of the gentlemen I was ordained with, we were just coming, we were getting out of our cars going into the co-cathedral. We were ordained to the co-cathedral here in Charleston. And he kind of turned to me and said, does anybody else feel the way I feel? And I go, let me guess, you have a pit in your stomach just like the day you got married. He goes, I said, me too. Because it is a life changer. And I knew that, you know, we can say no all the way up to the time we're ordained. But I knew, and I could feel in my spirit inside, this is a life-changing experience. There's no turning back. And
your foot was starting to go over the threshold.
But it was just a beautiful experience. By the time I was done, I was, like, exhausted. I was just so much energy that I kind of that was there. That God had given me to sustain me through, that when I got back to here, to the center here where we were staying here, it was like, I got to collapse. But it was a beautiful ceremony. One of the things I remember most of all was one of the other deacons, Deacon Doug from up in Wheeling, involving him. Ceremony's over. I'm heading back into the sacristy over there to change out of my vestments. All of a sudden, I hear this booming voice, Deacon Krim. I thought, well, did I do something wrong already? And I turn around, there's Deacon Doug. He comes up to me, bless me. And I did. I gave him a blessing. It was like, wow. Yeah, that was one of my best love memories from that. Because, you know, if you know Deacon Doug, they're not from big guy. And I thought I was in trouble.
What parishes have you been affiliated with? Is St. Leo is your first?
St. Leo is my home parish.
Mm-hmm.
When I first became Catholic, I was in St. Agnes in Shepherdstown. For a short time, I was at St. James, the old St. James Church, which is downtown in Ranson / well, I guess it would be Charlestown. I was there for a few months, but that was just too far for us to go. And my wife and I were married. She was pregnant with our first child, so that was like a long haul. So we started going to St. Joe's in Martinsburg. We were at St. Joseph's in Martinsburg for about 5 years, from about late 1980, when Father Leo Lyden, who is still with us, he was pastor there. Then we went from, you know, we were there through Father Bill Nolte, who was the pastor there. And then we moved down to southern of the county, where they had built a new Catholic church, St. Leo's, which was a small church at the time. And we've been there since 1986, so we've been there over 30 years.
When you find something good.
Yeah, we've been there ever since. We've been through several pastors. Father Alfred Obiod, who is our pastor now, and that's who I'm serving under. But, you know, we enjoy it. We love it. We love the people there. We love the families there. And I've gotten a lot of support, even throughout my formation time, from the parishioners and from the staff and from the pastors that were there. So, very pleasant ride so far.
What is your favorite part so far? I mean, you've only been a deacon for a year. What is your favorite part of being a deacon?
That's a hard one to say, because I don't know if I can say there is a favorite part of being a deacon. It's all good. I enjoy proclaiming the gospel. I enjoy being able to.
Yes.
It's a special blessing to be able to get up and, you know, proclaim the gospel to the next part of being a deacon, and this is being able to, you know, talk about what we talked about earlier, visiting. You know, I'm associated with the Legion of Mary in our church, and we do a lot of home visits. That's one of the ministries of the Legion of Mary, is visiting people in the hospital, visiting people who can't bring communion to them. And that's also a very favorite part of that ministry, is being able to visit people and to bring them communion. Well, to be able to visit them, to be able to talk to them, to give them some time.
My husband and I are both Eucharistic ministers for the sick, and we go to the local hospital and rehabilitation hospital also every Sunday. And we give them communion and pray with people, and we've seen miracles happen.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the joy of that. How would you advise a young man that was contemplating becoming a deacon?
Becoming any kind of religious requires discernment. Being able to sit and pray, is this where the Lord wants me to go? Making sure you're listening to what the Lord is telling you. Even with mine, it was like the first time I was contemplating it, there were just things, it was like, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. Being able to, okay, Lord, being able to literally ask the Lord, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, you're going to open the doors. You're going to close doors that need to be closed, and open doors need to be open. You're going to have to guide me. Being able to have that kind of relationship with the Lord, and remember that why you want to do it. One of the things, was our first year of formation, we had a class on the role of the deacon. And one of the things I learned, and it stuck with me, is the deacon is the image of Christ, the servant. It is a service role. And if you're looking for any kind of, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Self-glorification. But if you want to serve, if you want to serve the people of the parish, if you want to serve God, then, you know, a good thing to check into. It's a long haul, but it's a lot of schooling. I mean, not as much as a priest would have, because he has four full years of theology on top of having his BA. But you have, you know, we met once a month, one weekend a month, and we had many classes, and some of them were just about as hard as regular college classes that I had when I got my bachelor's and my master's in music. But it's a lot of work, it's a lot of time. You might have to do some traveling. We had to go our training was through St. Meinrad's in Indiana. So for our homiletics class, we had to actually go all the way out to Indiana, spend a week there, and then come back. When we went out, we actually stayed here overnight, then took the other 5 hours over to Indiana. The guys decided they would want to do the whole thing coming back. It's about an 11-hour drive with meals, stops, and everything. And then we had class the very next weekend after that, so we were back down here weekend after that. It was a lot of work. Now, I don't know how the next class comes up. I don't know where their training will come through, whether it be through Meinrad or whether it be more local. But it's a lot of book work. It's a lot. Be prepared to write. Be prepared to do a lot of reading. Be prepared. Pray the Liturgy of the Hours. That's one of the requirements. These the morning and evening prayers, the hinges of the prayer. But it's fulfilling. I will say it is that. It's a lot of work to get there, but once you're there, it's fulfilling.
Thank you again for coming and for being here and sharing your call with us and with our listeners. And thank you for all the good work that you do in the name of the Lord.
Well, my pleasure. And again, everything I do is through the Holy Spirit. I don't take credit for anything. It's the Holy Spirit and God directing me.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much.
Answering the Call is produced by Light of Life Radio, your listener-supported Catholic radio station in North Central West Virginia and the Upper Ohio Valley. Archived recordings of Answering the Call are available at www.lolradio.org.